That's a very difficult parasha to speak on. So I'm going to speak today out of the Ketuvah HaShalakim that we read, rather than out of the Torah. So let us pray. Abba Father, we just pray that you'll open our eyes so that we can see the wondrous things from your word this day. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence, Yehovah, because you are my rock and you are my redeemer. And I ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. When we read from the Ketuvah HaShalakim, the second last verse we actually read was from Philippians 4 and verse 19. Now you'll find that in the newsletter, every single one of the scriptures that I'm going to mention are already in there. Page 3 of the newsletter. So you don't need to copy them down. And if we go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, "Moreover, my Elohim will fill every need of yours according to his glorious wealth, in union with the Messiah Yeshua." We don't realise in Australia how wealthy we are. A little over 25 years ago, Yehovah made this scripture very real to me, and that's why I want to speak on it today. Malachi and I were about to embark on our first ever mission trip to India. We would be living in a city called Madurai, but we would be busing it out to small villages each day to preach the gospel, heal the sick, see the lame walk, see milky eyes go chocolate brown and the blind see, the deaf to hear, and bring salvation to many people that had no hope. And this was daunting to me. As an autistic person, I don't like crowds. You go to India, you can't get away from crowds. So my mindset brought on fear, anxiety, and doubt. What do you do when you've got fear, anxiety, and doubt? Only one thing for me to do, and that's go to Yah. So in prayer, Yah gave this scripture to me. He told me, "You don't have to do anything out of your own comfort zone, because it will be me who will be your strength to do whatever I have called you to do." We are a blessed people because we are a people who are in union with the Messiah Yeshua. And when we think of that name, there is power in that name. There is healing in that name. There is victory in that name. And there is salvation in that name of Messiah Yeshua. Yah proved all of that to me, literally, on that very first trip. The miracles that took place were only of Yah. It was none of my strength, none of Malachi's strength. It was only Yah. We could not have done what happened while we were over there in the natural. But I will not go into it now, but Malachi and I did do another two trips after that and before we started Beit Ganaden and being here every Shabbat ever since. Can we go to the next slide, please? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, "For you know how generous our Adonai Yeshua the Messiah was. For your sakes he impoverished himself, even though he was rich, so that he might make you rich by means of his poverty." How many times have you heard, "I would believe, but I don't know if I'm ready yet. I might not finish what I've begun." And there's a biblical question, one that Yeshua hoped that we would ask. And the answer is always found in Scripture. In slide 4, in Luke 14:28. Suppose one wants you to build a tower. Don't you sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough capital to complete it? There's a biblical answer for that doubter, which is in another scripture that Yah gave me before I made that first trip to India. It's 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. He told me very clearly through this scripture, "My grace is sufficient or enough for you, for my power is brought to perfection in weakness. Therefore, I am very happy to boast about my weaknesses in order that the Messiah's power will rest upon me." He told me, I felt like a weak little nothing. And he just showed me that it was his power that was going to do the work. I didn't have to do a thing. I had learnt in my life to depend on Yah for my personal situations from when I was 3 years old, from 1947. And the doctors at that stage wanting to put me on antidepressants because of the panic attacks I would have as an autistic child. But from the time, that time onwards, even though I was a Jewish girl living in a Jewish home, my parents allowed me to go to the local Presbyterian church three doors down the road. And I did. And I had went to church every weekend of my life after that. If my parents wanted to punish me, they'd stop me going to church. That was the punishment. Usually people are grounded. No, I was stopped going to church. So I learnt all through my life to depend on Yah for any personal situation that came up. But this trip to me was going to a different level. I had never ministered to strangers before. So Yah had to show me before I started this new step in ministry for him that it had to be absolutely nothing to do with anything I would do in my own strength. I needed to trust him in everything that was going to happen while I was away. Just the amount of people that I was near around me in India was daunting for me. I learned that a super believer is nothing more than a believer with a super Yah. Nothing else. It's Yah who wants to manifest himself in our lives, especially when I arrived there. I don't know if any of you have been to India, whether you've been to Delhi, whether you've been to Madurai, whether you've been to any of those places. But the smells, the sounds, the noise, the crowds, the hot claustrophobic conditions was so overwhelming for me. I can't share what I was feeling. If I didn't have Maliki by my side, I think I would have crumbled on the pavement as soon as I walked out of the airport. How I went back a second and a third time was only Yah's will and Yah's strength. And I think that Shaul puts it succinctly in 2 Corinthians 3:15, where it says, "It is not that we are competent in ourselves to count everything as having come from us. On the contrary, our competence is from Yehovah." When we become believers, we don't need to worry anymore. There is nothing that we can't handle with Yah. Because together or alone, he wants us to thrive in this life in expectation also of the life that is to come. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 9 verse 8 it says, "Moreover, Yehovah has the power to provide you with every gracious gift in abundance, so that always in every way you will have all you need yourselves and be able to provide abundantly for every good cause." This scripture is not just speaking of your everyday life. It is speaking of your future ministry and whatever Yah asks you or me to do now and in the future. Each and every one of us has a gift or two or three or four. We must use it. You know what your giftings are. They are the things that you do that come easy to you. You don't have to work at doing your gift that Yah has supplied with you. It just happens. It comes easy. But what we do need to remember is that there is power in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. All we have to do is go to the scriptures so that we get our strength from them. We have to remember that there is really nothing that we can do in our own strength. It is only Yah who does it for us. In Yochanan or John 14:13-14, it says, "In fact, whatever you ask for in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me for something in my name, I will do it." And he goes on further in verse 6, chapter 16, 24. "Till now," he says, "you haven't asked for anything in my name. Keep asking and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete." We might see our situation as not how we want it. But if we ask, he provides. And I'm sure that there are people in here, this room today, or listening online, listening live stream, where they have had a miracle happen in their life for something they were believing for but not being able to understand or comprehend how could it ever come to fruition. Yah makes it come to fruition. The apostles took these words of Yeshua as promises, and they believed them. They acted upon them. And once Yeshua had returned to his Father in heaven, we can see how they took hold of Yeshua's words and acted on them even though he was gone. If we go to Acts 3, verse 1, please. And you've all heard this one before many times. "One afternoon at 3 o'clock, that's the ninth hour, the hour of Mincha prayers, as Kepha and Yochanan were going up to the temple, a man crippled since birth was being carried in. Every day people used to put him at the beautiful gate by the temple so that he would beg from those going into the temple court. But when he saw Kepha and Yochanan about to enter, he asked them for some money. But they stared straight at him, and Kepha said, 'Look at us.' And the crippled man fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Kepha said, 'I don't have silver.'" Next slide. "I don't have silver and I don't have gold. But what I do have, I give to you in the name of the Messiah, Yeshua of Nazareth. Walk." And taking hold of him by his right hand, Kepha pulled him up. Instantly his feet and ankles became strong, so that he sprung up, stood a moment, and began walking. Then he entered the temple court, and with them walking and leaping and praising Yehovah. They didn't do anything except allow him to activate his faith. I've done this with people in India. Lame, couldn't walk. And after 3 days, I didn't have them walking. I had them running around the block. It was a big block. 3 days we worked. This lady would come to me every day and say, "You pray for me." We would pray and I'd get her walking. We'd pray, I'd get her going a bit faster and a bit further. By the third day, she was running. Praise Yah. Nothing I did. It was because her faith and my faith allowed it to happen. So Shaul saw both the power and the danger in those who called upon the name of Yeshua. Hananiah was fearful when he was told by Yah to pray for Shaul, but he was still obedient. Can we go to Acts 9, 13 and 14, please? When Yehovah asked Hananiah to pray for Shaul, he was very fearful. He was fearful because he knew that it was Sheol that wanted to kill the believers. So Hananiah answered, "Lord, many have told me about this man, how much harm he has done to your people in Jerusalem. And here he has a warrant for the head Kohanim to arrest everyone who calls on your name." And further down in the chapter in verse 21, all who heard him were amazed. They asked, this is after the prayer, "Isn't he the man who in Jerusalem was trying to destroy the people who call in this name? In fact, isn't that why he came here, to arrest them and bring them back to the head Kohanim? The name of Yeshua holds no power for the people who are authorized to bear it. Non-believers, people in the occult, think they have powers. But their powers are absolutely useless against the power of the name of Yeshua HaMashiach." Can we go to slide 10, please? Acts 16, 16 to 18. "Once when we were going to the place where a minyan, that is a 10 men, come to prayer in the Jewish synagogue, it's called a minyan, you've got to have 10 to get a minyan, gathered, we were met by a slave girl who had in her a snake spirit that enabled her to predict the future. She earned a lot of money for her owners by telling fortunes. This girl followed behind Sheol and the rest of us and kept screaming, 'These men are servants of Elohim HaElyon. They're telling you how to be saved.' She kept this up day after day until Sheol, greatly disturbed, turned and said to the spirit, 'In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, I order you to come out of her.' And the spirit did come out at that very moment." Now, of course, the owner of this young slave girl wasn't very impressed with that, was he? She could no longer earn money for him. But in slide 11, the next slide, please. Acts 19, 13 to 17. "Then some Jewish exorcists who traveled from place to place tried to make use of the name of Yeshua, of the Lord Yeshua, in connection with the people who had evil spirits. They would say, 'I exorcise you by Yeshua that Sheol is proclaiming.' One time, seven sons of a Jewish Kohen Gadol, that is a high priest named Sceva, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered them and said, 'Yeshua I know, Sheol I recognize, but you, who are you?' Then the man with the evil spirit fell upon them, overpowered them, and gave them such a beating that they ran from the house naked and bleeding." They didn't believe in Yeshua. Even though they were trying to use his name, they had no power. There was no power in the word they used, because they didn't believe. And in verse 17, it says, "When all this became known to the residents of Ephesus, fear fell on all of them, Jews and Greeks alike. The name of Adonai Yeshua came to be held in high regard." As I said earlier, there is healing in the name of Yeshua. While we were in India, we saw miraculous healings, not just the sick. As I said, like Mike, white milky eyes that became chocolate shining brown, the deaf hearing for the first time in their lives, the lame not walking but running. These people didn't have doctors, they didn't have hospitals to run to, but they did believe on the name of Yeshua and that name would heal them. They had a level of faith that has not ever been in our society, because they don't have a government that subsidizes their health system. They don't have a government that actually gives out social services or social security money if you're out of a job. What actually happens is that when you become a believer, you lose any government funding whatsoever when you're in those countries. So they believed in divine healing. We believe in divine healing. Otherwise, we would not lay hands on the sick and believe they will be healed. And it doesn't matter if you are a new or long-time believer, we all have to trust Yah for our healing. I really don't believe that Yehovah created this world so he could just watch it. I don't believe Yehovah made mankind in his image and then not care about us. Can we go to the next slide, please, in Matthew 4, 23 and 24. Yeshua went all over the Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing people of every kind of disease and sickness. Word of him spread throughout all Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill, suffering from various diseases and pains, and those held in the power of demons, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. With Yeshua as our example, we seek to provide relief for those who are suffering with disease and torments, whether they are spiritual or physical. Anyone can be given the gift of healing. So it's not just a ministry team. Anyone can be given this gift. You can all do it, and especially can I encourage you in your homes with your own families. In the next slide, in Acts chapter 8, 5 to 7. Now Philip went down to a city in Shomron and was proclaiming the message, proclaiming the Messiah to them, and the crowds were paying close attention to what Philip said. As they heard and saw the miraculous signs he was doing, for many people having unclean spirits driven out of them, shrieking, also many paralytics and crippled persons were being healed. So there was great joy in that city. The modern dilemma is, how can we get healing today like they had back then? Is there any more truth that is needed to be revealed? I don't feel we need a revival of doctrine. We need a revival of power. The revival of power rests in the revival of worship and trusting in the dependence of Yehovah. In other words, we need to get our own minds out of the equation, let go, and let Yah do the work. Maybe we have to spend more time with him. Maybe we have to ask for the gift. Or maybe we have to spend more time in his word researching our scriptures on healing to really comprehend what he wants us to do and how to do it. It's not me, it's not you, but it is your faith in Yeshua that will allow you to heal those with whom you come in contact, especially your family. We go to Yaakov, James 5 and verse 14, please. Yaakov says, "Is someone among you ill? He should call the elders of the congregation. They will pray for him and rub olive oil on him in the name of the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach." We probably all have our own favourite story of supernatural healing. I have to admit, I've got many, but not just those that Yah has done in my own life, but so many miraculous healings in India, but just miraculous savings of babies in the womb when an anointed handkerchief was sent to a mother, or someone on life support with every body organ in their body failing, and even the equipment that was to sustain those organs failing. I didn't do anything more than pray. Have to admit, I stayed up all night and prayed, but I prayed. And miraculous healing took place. If something goes wrong and you need healing, and I'm talking to every single one of you, especially those that are listening local in Australia, on phone me. My telephone number is in here. Don't let it go. Don't think about, oh, I might tell them, I might not, and I'm not being healed. If you've got a problem, phone. Malachi and I will pray for you immediately. And we can send it around a prayer chain. But we can't pray if we don't know. And we need to know. We don't need any more mystery doctrines to bring the power of Yehovah down. We need some more of good old-fashioned calling on the name of Yeshua HaMashiach in prayer. As you all know, there's salvation in the name of Yeshua. Yeshua was brought forth for the purpose of our salvation, and anything else is a bonus. Can we go to Matthew 1:21, please? Here the angel is speaking and says, she will give birth to a son. Speaking to Yosef. She will give birth to a son and you are to name him Yeshua, which means Yehovah saves, because he will save his people from their sins. The gospel, or the good news of salvation, is equivalent to the gospel or good news of Yeshua. So here it comes again. I'm going to go to my favourite scripture. I'm sure you can tell me what it is. Acts 2:38. Kepha answered them, "Turn from sin, return to Yehovah, and each of you be immersed on the authority of Yeshua the Messiah into forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit." This is the true salvation message. Where some prefer to trust in a mistranslation scripture for a gospel of salvation. And I'm sure you've all heard of this one, but it's not the gospel message. No, back to Romans 10:13. "For everyone who calls on the name of Yehovah will be delivered." As I proved before, when those Jewish exorcists were using the name of Yeshua, they weren't healing. Just because you call on the name of Yeshua or Yehovah, you will be delivered. Is not salvation. Salvation is to turn from your sins 180 degrees. Return to Yehovah and his Torah, because that's what returning to Yehovah is. "And each of you be immersed into the authority of Yeshua HaMashiach to receive your forgiveness of sins, and you will receive then the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh." So there is, as I said, just more than calling on the name of Yehovah. I cannot guarantee the salvation of my Jewish family who go off to synagogue and do all those things, because they will never use Yah's name of Yehovah, and they certainly block their ears if I mention Yeshua HaMashiach. They will use the name Hashem. That's not a name. It's just the name. But whose name? Krishna? Buddha? Allah? I don't know. Hashem. It's the name. Can be any name. We have to use the proper name. We have to use the name of Yeshua HaMashiach and Yehovah. Even Shaul, when he was first introduced to Yeshua, was commanded in Acts 22:16, "So now, what are you waiting for? Get up, immerse yourself, and have your sins washed away as you call on his, Yeshua's name." There were two crowds to follow, and the decision is weighty. But listen to what Kepha had to say when the Sanhedrin, that is the group of the leaders of the community, of the Jewish community, had both the Pharisees and the Sadducees amongst them. When they called the disciples or the Talmudim in to prevent them from speaking on the name of Yeshua. I believe that we're going to be in the same condition in the not too far distant future, where we could be held accountable and being stopped of using Yeshua's name if the world continues down its present path. In Acts 4:18-19, so they called them in again and ordered them under no circumstances to speak or teach in the name of Yeshua. But Kepha and Yochanan answered, "You must judge whether it is right in the sight of Yehovah to listen to you rather than to Yehovah." And in the next slide, Philippians 2:9-11. Therefore Yehovah raised him, that is Yeshua, to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, that in honor of the name Yeshua, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue will acknowledge that Yeshua the Messiah is Yehovah, to the glory of Yehovah the Father. And so that you just do not think I'm calling Yeshua Yehovah, Yeshua himself says in Yochanan 10:30 that I and the Father, I and the Father are one. So let us look at it in its context. In other words, let us look at the scriptures in front of and behind verse 30. It says, Yeshua answered them, and this is the Sanhedrin again. I've already told you that you don't trust me. The works I do in my Father's name testify on my behalf. But the reason you don't trust is that you are not included among my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I recognize them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will absolutely never be destroyed, and no one will snatch them from my hands. My Father gave them to me. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them from my Father's hands. Verse 30, I and the Father are one. Once again, the Judeans picked up rocks in order to stone him. The Yehudians thought that Yeshua was blaspheming and wanted to stone him, of which we know he just walked away unharmed. People of this congregation have also told me I am blaspheming because I have quoted Philippians 9:11 saying that Yeshua the Messiah is Yehovah. But I'm not. I'm really saying that I believe with all my heart that Yeshua has a divine nature and he and the Father are one. It is only through our oneness with our Yeshua that we are also united with the Father, and therefore we can thank Yah for our wealth. He is the giver of all good things. If we don't have wealth, but again, that's dependent on our own thinking and not looking at the people of the world in general, we can thank Yah for our health. No worries. If we don't have health, we can thank Yah for our healing. Also, no worries, because if we don't get our healing, we can thank Yah for our salvation. Definitely no worries, because we get to reside with him sooner. Hallelujah. Let me conclude with this last scripture from Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the good news, since it is Yehovah's powerful means of bringing to everyone who keeps on trusting, to the Jews especially, but equally to the Gentile. And in Romans 9:33, as the Tanakh puts it, It's the Old Testament. Look, I am laying in Zion a star, a stone that will make people stumble, a rock that will trip them up. But he who rests his trust on it will not be humiliated. And in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, and this is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, because I know him in whom I have put my trust. And I am persuaded that he can keep safe until that day what he has entrusted to me. And which is that day? I believe that that day is the day I'm called home to be seated at the right hand of Yeshua. We are a blessed people. We are people of the name. We pray in the name. We walk in the name. We live according to the name, and we trust Yehovah. When we do all of that, we shall never have anything to worry about.